Okay, good evening, gentlemen. We continue the Rambam, Hilchos Shabbos, Perek Gimel, Halacha Yud Gimel. And we're going to discuss more laws about Shehi over here. So I just wanted to, again, do a couple more halachas with you, because we had a whole bunch of questions, and I've got to have some other sheets. So I'm going to hand you out two sheets, just to quickly review some halachas. So you'll have it on paper, and there'll be some areas where you probably wouldn't get
to.
Did
we hand those yesterday? Or no,
sorry, just give me one. If I'm short, we'll have to share. I'm sorry.
I don't think we'll be short. I think we're going to be fine.
There should be an extra hand up from yesterday.
Was your hand up from yesterday?
And then after that one is another one.
Oh, short.
Is yesterday?
Short.
Thank you.
Sure.
I've been short all my life.
Okay, so now can you guys pass one or two down there, and I'll try to make
sitting there.
Some more.
Is
anybody sitting here?
Here, Ron Becker's sitting
here. Okay. Just pass these out. Yeah, so start from the big letter C. So it's just like some areas that we're not going to touch directly on the Rambam, so I want to just do it. And we talked about stirring yesterday. I want to talk more about stirring. And
did you look at the other book?
Thank
you.
I haven't had a chance.
Okay, because there's a lot of reading there, so I don't know if you have a chance. But there's some good stuff.
Okay, so look again. We'll look in letter C, reheating and serving cooked food. So we mentioned already there's a concept of nesina lechatchila, the prohibition of placing cooked food on a flame, even if it's fully cooked. The reason we can't do that is because it looks like you're cooking. Mm-hmm. So that's prohibited. If any kind of a flame, an electric range, inside an oven, whatever, directly on a flame is not allowed on Shabbos. However, I didn't speak it out so clearly, but that's only when it looks like it's cooking. But if it's an unconventional method of cooking, where no one will think it's cooking, it's permitted, which would include, for example, a pot on top of another pot. In other words, if you have a pot already on a flame, if you put a pot on top of that, and it's fully cooked, you don't have to worry about it, because no one will think you're cooking a pot on top of a pot.
That's not a way.
Now, preferably the pot below should have food in it, or water, or some just liquid, you know, not just a pot.
Doesn't it look then that you're cooking the food that's in the first pot?
Like, well, no, that's already on the stove before.
Oh, that's on the stove before.
If you've got a pot, soup in a pot on top of stove on Shabbos, you could put something fully cooked in a pot on top of the pot.
Right.
And then that won't look like you're cooking it.
It's a double boiler.
Whatever. Or if it's near a flame, let's say you have it on the counter that's right next to the end of the stove, so it'll get some warmth, but that's not the way you cooked originally. Or if you put it in a kli rishon off the fire, a first vessel, let's say you have soup, and you took it off the fire, and now I put something fully cooked into that soup. No one cooks with a pot off of the stove.
Right. In the liquid or something.
Right? Let's say you have dry chicken, cold dry chicken. So now you have soup, you took it off the flame, it's very hot, and then you take a piece of cold dry chicken, put it right in the pot that's off the fire, that's permitted. Because nobody cooks something with a pot off the top 100%. Of the stove top. Okay? So those are unconventional ways. Or as we said, a hot plate that only has one temperature serving. Right? In all
those settings.
There's no way someone's going to cook something initially for that. All right? That makes that clear. Then a blech, the Rambam's not going to really talk about it. So we have to talk about the ideas of a blech. So if you have a blech, that's that metal that covers over the stove. So let's say you got one burner that's on and it heats the entire blech. You've got to realize there are three areas on a blech. You have to be familiar with the three areas of a blech, and they have to be tested out before Shabbos. Area number one, very original term, is called directly above the flame. Mm. The blech part, right, that's right over the flame. That's going to be the hottest. And that mamish is right over the fire. That's called area number one. Area number two is anywhere near the flame where the food can still be yad soledes, where it's too hot to the touch. Area three, the perimeter of the blech, where it might be a little bit warm, but it is not yad soledes bulk. Okay, those are the three areas of a blech. Okay? So now, what the halach is relevant to that? So number one, food that was not on the blech before Shabbos, okay, cannot be put on areas one or two on the blech on Shabbos.
Right.
Okay, because that is considered too close to the flame, and it's considered too close to looking like you're going to be cooking something on Shabbos. However, those kinds of foods can only be put on Area 3 because it's less than 110 degrees Fahrenheit. So that's not going to look at all like you're cooking anything in that area. Okay? So that's permitted. Now, if you want to rearrange pots on the blech, all right? So if you have something, as Shabbos began, was on Area number 3, you can't move it to Area 2 or 1. However, food that was in Area 2 can go anywhere. Mm-hmm. Can go and go to Area 1. And food that was moved from Area 1 or 2 on Shabbos to Area 3 can be returned to Area 1 or 2 if it is still warm. It's really not that complicated. It's not hard at all. In other words, again, very simple. If it wasn't on the blech before Shabbos, it can only go in Area 3. Finished. If you had it on the blech on Shabbos, if it was Area 3, it can't go to 2 or 1. But if you had it in Area 2, it can go to 1. And if it was on 1 or 2, you can move it to 3, and it can go back to 1 or 2. All right? That's basically the rules of how you work with a blech.
And it would stay still warm on Area 3?
Well, if it's still warm, then it can go back.
But I'm saying Area 3 does what? Is near enough so it would keep it warm.
It could keep it warm, but not
depends on the time.
For that long, not forever, because it's below 110. If you leave it there for 3 hours, it'll go below one.
How warm does it have to be?
Well, it has to at least be Yad Soledes.
But it has to be Yad Soledes.
Well, less than that, it isn't even warm.
Yeah, that's 110.
Or be close. Really? After a while, it might not be warm. If certain perimeters can be less than 110. You know, perimeter is a perimeter.
Right.
Yeah. Right over the fire, it's really hot. It's going to burn you. Close enough, it could be 160, right? Now you're going less than 110. The further you go, it could be 90.
Okay.
It could be 70. When you're right at the very corner, right? So, it can get, room temperature ready, which is not warm. Okay.
Rabbi?
Yes, sir.
Maybe I'm getting confused with something.
Probably.
Didn't you say yesterday, very possibly and most likely, didn't you say yesterday and the day before that if somebody sees a blech, then it's not a conventional way of cooking, so you're not going to be cooking your food.
But if you're right over the fire, you could definitely cook over it. It's right over the fire. You will cook. It will cook.
But it doesn't matter.
Might think you're cooking it.
Even when we were saying last on Sunday, if there was something directly over, you said, well, a reasonable person wouldn't assume that you're cooking food if there's a blech.
You won't stoke the coals because there's a blech. You're not going to raise the flame.
You're
not going to raise the flame, but if you're putting something right over a fire, maybe you want it evenly distributed so you don't want it to burn what you're cooking, But a person could think you're trying to cook something.
The same would not apply or would apply to a hot plate. It's got hot
A hot plate,
as well.
No one ever cooks. People do cook on a stove, you know that? They really cook on a stove, especially when it's over the burner. Really, people do that all the time. Could be. Why not? You don't want the food to burn and you want it to be distributed. But it's not
too lazy to take it out.
In other words, once a person sees that, people could make the mistake. People are going to simply, I saw him put it on top of the stove. Remember, when for people make mistakes, it doesn't take a lot for people to make mistakes.
Especially
people
now.
People always like to, stretch the truth. And, give them an inch, they take a mile. And the Chazal understood that. And I said, all I know is I saw the guy put it on top of the stove. That's all. There was a blech, he put it on top of the stove. Finished.
Rabbi, especially now that they have those glass top stoves, that looks even more like a flat surface, like a blech.
Right, so I'm saying. So Chazal understood what to be gozer on. But if it's on a hot plate, ever cook on a hot plate.
Right, or if you have an upside down tinfoil pan on the blech, nobody ever cooks like that.
Right.
Besides that. Yeah, but you're on vacation, okay? That's
different. Okay, now turn the next page. And we did talk about stirring, so I wanted to be more thorough with stirring and scooping. Okay? So we mentioned a fact that, number one, stirring food in a pot can increase the heat. And that could be an act of cooking. That's what we mentioned yesterday. So the first rule is obvious. any hot foods that are not fully cooked cannot be stirred, even if it's off the fire. Let's say you took a hot, no, I'm talking about right now solids, let's say a cholent, okay? Took a hot cholent and you took it off the flame and it's hot. You can't, and it's not fully cooked. You cannot stir it because the stirring itself will increase the heat and will therefore cook the stuff that wasn't cooked yet.
So, Rabbi, can I ask a question about that? In on the previous sheet, on 1B sub 3, we say the first vessel is off.
Where was 1B sub 3? Okay,
the lawyers. Yeah,
that's if it's fully cooked.
It's off the flame.
All those cases are fully cooked.
Because methods of cooking.
If it's fully cooked, has to be. All those cases are fully cooked.
He said that before he put it on the flame.
You can't put anything on if it's not fully cooked. That's always going to be awesome.
So it really shouldn't be methods of cooking. It should be.
Well, there was an assumption there that maybe I didn't speak out where it was fully cooked.
Yeah, it says at the top.
Oh,
where did I write that?
Okay, I'm sorry. It's right at the top. Okay,
the prohibition of placing cooked food.
Maybe fully cooked.
Maybe said fully cooked. Well, that's what I meant.
I apologize. Okay.
Okay, not a problem. So anyway, again, so if it's hot, yatzah lettuce foods that are not fully cooked cannot be stirred at all, even if it's off the fire, because it is definitely going to cook it.
Unless it cools off.
There's no. If it's cooled off, then nothing's going to happen. If it's cold, you can't heat it by stirring it.
Right, so you're allowed to stir it.
Nothing's going to happen there, right? You take cold chillin' and stir it all day long, it ain't going to get cooked. Right? It just doesn't happen, right?
It will heat up a bit.
Not to any,
not to get some,
you know, I doubt it. All right, next. Now, if you have hot yad soletis foods that are fully cooked, still cannot be stirred over a fire. And the reason is, I gave one reason, but it's really three reasons Chazal say, well, why can't I stir it? It's fully cooked already. What am I going to do? So number one, the fact of the matter is you may be stirring it so it won't burn. And doing something to make sure it doesn't burn, that itself is a cooking process. You know, there's many types of cooking. One is if it's not fully cooked, and by me stirring it, it makes it more fully cooked. But if the fact it could burn, and you're trying to do something to avoid its burning, that is part of what cooking's all about, to make sure it doesn't burn and stays in an edible stage. So you're stirring it, and that you have all the time. You have food cooking, and if you leave it the way it is, it's going to burn on the bottom, right? You make noodles, right? So you stir it a bit, so it won't burn. That itself is a positive act of cooking.
Yeah, that's one.
Number two, there could be some inside particles that are stuck together that maybe didn't get fully cooked, even though everything else is fully cooked, but there's something that could be, and therefore stirring it will dislodge them and will fully cook that. Or number three, you might think it's fully cooked, but you may be wrong. Right? And therefore, the stirring can definitely make that happen as well. So for all those reasons, we do not allow you to stir things. I mean, it is rabbinic, this prohibition, but it's strong enough to be seriously reckoned with. And therefore, you can't stir if something is over the flame, or for that area, remember, area number one. Area number one.
What about Marzain? Isn't that...
There's no Marzain. What's the Marzain?
Somebody might think that you're cooking.
Well, that's why over area one, we don't let you do it. But forget about Marzain. You just can't do it because you might
actually be cooking.
You might be cooking it. No, something with Marzain, you may actually cook it.
You may actually be doing it. Yeah.
Okay. However, we weren't so strict once you get off onto area two or three. It's not really over the flame. Mm-hmm. So since it's only rabbinic, we're not that strict in areas two or three, since it is really probably fully cooked anyway. So we're not so strict about areas two and three. On the other hand, when we're stirring water or liquids or a soup, once it's been cooked, right, and we're boiled and are still warm, this rabbinical decree does not apply. It can be stirred even in area one because the three reasons don't apply.
Right?
Right? No. You're not going to stop liquid soup from burning,
no.
A. B, the li- what? No, I'm just saying regular soup.
Pure
liquids. Water or pure liquids.
Right.
Like a chicken soup, just the broth, not with the chicken and all the other things. But water or a clear, mamish a clear soup, that kind of thing. You're right, if it would be a vegetable soup, then there could be the same problems.
Right.
But, you know, your typical chicken soup, you know, with just chicken soup, right? That would be no problem. That's not a problem. Because the three reasons don't apply. There's nothing there that can't not get cooked. Once it boiled, it boiled. There's nothing more to talk about. It's still warm. It's still warm. So that's not a problem. But you're right. If it was a vegetable soup or if it be the knedelach or things like that, then that could be a problem over area number one. Remember, if you take it off the fire and fully cook, that's not a problem. So therefore, how would you serve soup on Shabbos with knedelach and all kinds of things in your soup? What would you do? You would take it off of the flame area number one. Okay? I don't know if you'd have to take it off the crock pot. Not the crock pot, I meant the hot plate. I'm going to take it off the hot plate because that doesn't have the same... It's like more like area two and three. It's not like area number one. But otherwise... So you could see why if you don't have a blech, you could have major problems. You don't have a hot plate or a blech, so you're allowed to keep the soup on before Shabbos is fully cooked. It's not a problem. But now you want to serve it. And so it's a vegetable soup or you got matzo balls. What are you going to do? You cannot serve it right off of that fire that's on. You'd have to take it off. I take it off, then I can't put it back on.
So we haven't talked about scooping yet.
So that's why, what are you doing? That's stirring, right, stirring. But I'm saying the point being, so if you have the blech, you just slide it over into area one, or area two, serve it, and slide it back.
Half right. area one.
Exactly. Right.
Scoop it and then
slide it. So that's what helps over there. Yes, sir.
Is a crock pot under section 8?
So I'm going to get to that. Crock pot, we're going to get to that at the end. We're going to get to the crock pot shortly. Now, so let's just take it another fit. What about just scooping food out of a pot? So again, scooping food out of the pot, it could be like stirring. It's not as strong as stirring, but it smacks of stirring and it could have problems. And therefore, we would say certainly a hot food that's not fully cooked certainly should not be scooped because that would be very close to stirring and would cook it. Right? Doesn't matter. Even off the fire or anything. If it's not fully cooked, that's scooping it out itself can do the stirring that would make it cooked. If it's hot yad, so lettuce fully cooked, really you shouldn't be scooping it off of in air. It's to say area one. Same idea. But hot, fully cooked foods in areas two and three, again, we would allow because we're allowed to stir it as well. And hot foods that were fully cooked. Now, the leniency to even do it off of area one is if the pot is too heavy to lift. Because since scooping isn't as exactly like stirring, it's like another degree. So if it's too heavy to lift, it's a huge pot. And you won't be able to pick it up, or it's so heavy you won't be able to put it back on once you take it off the fire. Then
can't you move it to two?
Let's say there's no blech. Let's say you didn't put a blech on, and it's just right on top of the fire. If I take it off, I can't put it back on.
So we don't mean area one; we mean on the fire.
Yeah. That area one means on the fire, right?
You could have 100 guests for dinner. You could have a big army pot.
Right. So you have a huge pot, and I can't move it. So then we'll be lenient if it's fully cooked to do that. Now again, if it's a soup, a clear soup, it's not a problem. Anyway, never was a problem. Right. So that's not a problem. If it's a vegetable soup, it would be a problem. You have to deal with it. The final thing we're talking about, crock pots. Crock pots, since the cooking process envelops the food, as opposed to coming from the bottom, the likelihood of anything not getting cooked is unusual, A, and B, The other issue of it burning in the crock pot is usually not going to happen either. So all three reasons will not apply in a crock pot. And therefore, if the food is fully cooked, there's no reason why you couldn't stir it. And for that matter, no reason why you couldn't serve out of the pot. Unless you have those Israeli crock pots, which aren't really crock pots per se. It's only the bottom is hot. Yeah. You know, the Israeli kinds where it's only hot on the bottom. It's a combination of hot plate and crock pot.
Yeah.
Doesn't envelop it, then there'd be problems because it's not.
It's a crock plate.
Crock plate.
You can't lift the lid off the crock pot though.
If it's fully cooked, you can.
If it's fully cooked?
Why not?
If it's on, you can take the lid off.
It's not on, it's on.
If the thing is on warm, you let it stay overnight. It's the next morning. It's still fully cooked.
And it's warm.
There's no problem. Take the lid off. Put the lid back on. It's already fully cooked.
So I could take the lid off.
That's
going to
be the next tomorrow. maybe.
You can take the lid off it and stir it. And put the lid back on it.
If it is fully cooked.
If it's fully cooked. Right.
Yes, sir.
Right.
Yes, sir. Okay? All right. So that's those laws. I want to go that over to get it absolutely clear. I hope it's clear now.
Yeah.
You got the sheets. You can refer back to the sheets. Okay, good. So now let's continue in the Rambam. What?
I'll call you on Shabbos if you have a question.
Well, maybe I'll
call me Friday night. Before. Okay. So now we're going to, now the rest of these halachas from Yud Gimel until Yud Ches are all various permutations of these concepts of Shehiyah that we can go fairly quickly through. Okay.
We're only on the time.
Perfect. Okay. Yud Gimel. Tanur Shinasan, so it's all, there aren't any big chidushim here. It's just applications in Talmudic times. Tanur Shinasan Osocha Basr Meba'od Yom V'Shia Oso V'Shabbos. Let's say a stove that you put inside of it meat before Shabbos and you're leaving it there on Shabbos. So now we're going to talk about different types of meats and how they relate to the fire. Im Basar Gedihu, if it's the meat of a kid, a baby goat, right? And it's been, or and it's tender meat, and it's the kind of meat that cooks very quickly. So who ukayoitz about it or similar ones mutter? You're allowed to put them on an Erev Shabbos, even though maybe there'd be a concern it's not cooked yet, and you may stoke the coals. But here's an exception. Why? Shimiyachta begacholim, because that since it's tender meat, if you will stoke the coals, it could increase the flame too high. And that will happen to what? Yischarech habasar will scorch the meat.
So you don't want
to. So therefore, you'll never come to stoke the coals. Even with a very tender kind of meat, you're not going to want to hurry it up. Because if you hurry it up, you'll probably burn it. Sheinatzarech elachamim aseishiblad. All you need is the warmth of the fire. You don't need more. And therefore, we're not concerned about that situation. Vim besar eiz o besar shorhu. What if it's goat meat or ox meat? Right? So that was, it's already needs a lot of cooking.
Yeah,
so then also you're not allowed to do it because that clearly shema yachta b'chol nevasha. You may stoke the coals because it takes a long time to cook it. Now v'imtoch ha'pi hatanur betit. But what if you? I'm not sure about the whole logistics here, but I'll just explain the way he says it. If you smear the oven with teat, with what do you call it?
Clay.
To keep it really tight and
like a seal.
Airtight. Then mutter, you can put the food in. Now he gives an interesting reason. If you would open up an airtight sealed oven, and now you're going to try to stoke the coals, what will happen, in this case more than in others for some reason, the wind will get in, the meat will get hard, the yivsad and it will be lost. It will get damaged. The yitzdanan atanur and the stove will get cold. The yavsebus, the meat will be wrecked up. I guess when you're sealing it before and then you break the seal,
it has a negative effect.
Somehow it'll spoil the entire oven's temperature and will wreck up all the food.
You're so unlikely to do it. You're not worried.
That's right. We're not concerned. If that's the kind of thing where opening up the stove would damage the meat again, same idea, then there was no concern. Similarly, Yudal, any case where the wind would cause a damage for the food, if you'd open it up, and goes in the food, would not make the decree. Of what? Shema yigalehu v'yachta, of that you may open up the oven and stoke it, because you're not going to do it. And therefore, mipneza, because that nosnin unin shel pishtun lotoch hatanurim chashech, hashim gilo yisaru. Similarly, we'll let a person cook strands of flax inside of a pot before Shabbos. Why? Because remember, you're allowed to dye the flax because we're not commanded against our utensils. So I'm allowed to let work happen on Shabbos as we paskin like Beis Hillel. But maybe you'd be afraid maybe it would open up and I'd stir it around that the color would be strong or whatever. But the same idea, because once she'im gilo, because if I open it up, yivsad will cause a loss and will ruin the whole thing. Fine. Tesva. Now it's coming up to Pesach. So nasan gidi shalom toch tanur. You put a full lamb into a stove, right? As you do the paschal lamb, right? So now, one second, what do we got over here? Hang on. Yeah. Okay. Harehu kebasar eiz o kebasar shorva. So we treat it like goat meat and ox meat that we said was prohibited before. Why? Because when you take a whole animal, it takes much longer to cook it. When you have a slab of meat, you know, then it's cut already, so certain choices of meat can be cooked reasonably quickly. So even though maybe goat meat, a piece of goat meat could cook quickly and it's tender, but a whole goat is going to take much longer to cook. So therefore, you're allowed to do it. You're not allowed to do it. Kashema yachta b'kol, because maybe you stoke the coals. Elim came, unless again, tochatanur, you sealed up the oven and opening it up with the wind would cause damage. Now, umutr l'shal shel keves ha-pesach l'tanur m'chashecha, you're allowed to hang the keves, the sheep, in the oven, when it's before Shabbos. Va'afal pi she'eino toch. Even though it's not, now this is not the gedina, this is not the kid, this is the real paschal offering. This keves ha-pesach, the paschal offering mamish. So the paschal offering mamish.
But you need the bit of migdash for
that. You can, well, yeah, you can hang it down into the oven. Aval pi she'eino toch, even though you haven't smeared the oven. And maybe you think it could be possible you might stoke the coals, but here we have a new factor. Because we know a Korban Pesach cannot be done alone. You cannot eat a Korban Pesach alone. It must be in a chabur, it must be in a group. Since you're part of a group, people will be alacritous. In other words, if they're going to see you starting to stoke the coals, they say, stop! What are you doing? It's Yom Tov! Don't stoke the coals! In other words, when there's a group, you're not going to do the sin, as opposed to when you're alone, you could forget. That's a new principle the Rambam is telling us. When there's a group of people, you know, watching over the fire, even you might want to make a mistake and stoke the coals. Other people will catch you. You know, people are always good at pointing out other people's sins. It's incredible how people notice how other people do things wrong. So when you're going to see, you know, just look at any barbecue. You know, there's always six or seven guys hanging around, and everybody knows how to barbecue better than the next guy.
Yeah.
You know, even if you just put the wrong kind of barbecue sauce, there's seven guys pointing out your mistakes. So certainly if it was on a yontif, and you're watching the fire, and you're going to start getting the stoker out there, whoa, what are you doing? It's like I'm jumping all over you, and therefore we're not concerned it's going to happen.
And if it was done in cooking the paschal offering, could you eat it?
It could be a problem.
Yes.
So you have a self-interest.
Definitely.
But they're going to be careful. Yes, Mark, you're cringing. The coals. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Yeah, for sure not. You can't make a fire. You can't. First of all, you could be. Let's say even simpler. Let's say it's Friday night. Okay, make it simple. Friday night. We'll say it's Friday night.
You can't stoke the coals.
Okay. Even stoking is a problem. It's Friday night. Okay, so Friday night keeps it simple. Even on Shabbos, it wouldn't be so simple stoking it. It's more than just adding it. But anyway, let's just say Friday night. Okay, good. Tezayin. Ein solin basar ubatzal ubeitza al gabei esh elakadeshi yitzolim with yom v'yurim lachila. Now we're talking about roasting. Before we're talking about cooking, now we're talking about roasting. So if you're roasting something, mamish, right over the fire, you cannot roast meat or onions or eggs on top of the fire. Unless it has been roasted from before Shabbos and is ready to be eaten now as well, at least to machal ben drusoy.
So half
correct. And if it remains afterwards on the fair of Shabbos, achi salu harbe mutter. If it'll get more, we're not worried about it because once it's already been to a sufficient degree and it goes rather quickly, roasting happens quickly, so there's not likely that people are going to be stoking. That's what I'm saying, cooking and roasting. Because roasting is fast. So it's not going to take a long time, and you could do that. And more, it gives another reason. Because the more it goes too much, it'll be bad for it. And therefore, if you're going to stoke the coals, yachar coals, it will scorch them, shalgufa eshem, because they're right on top of the fire. When it's not right on top of the fire, stoking will add heat and won't scorch the food. But if it's roasting right on top of it, if you stoke the coals and the fires jump up at it, it will burn the food. And similarly, for that reason, you can put mugmar. Remember, the mugmar is those spices, and you want to make spices, and you smoke the spices under the utensils to make the utensils smell. So you can do that in chashecha before Shabbos, because if you will stoke the coals, you serve a mugmar, you'll burn that dye, and you will blacken the utensils, and that will be a negative thing as well, and that won't be a problem. And there he gives us a general rule in Yitzayin. Holomata, what have you learned from all this? Shekol, davar shana olshin bin yinzeh, whatever we prohibit in these areas, eino asr mishum shunas b'shabbos. The problem is not because the thing is cooking on Shabbos. Food is allowed to that you put on Shabbos before, even if it's not fully cooked, it can cook on Shabbos, because you haven't done anything on Shabbos. That's not the problem. We're afraid maybe you will stoke the coals. Therefore, you don't put wool into a pot to dye on Shabbos, unless it was removed from the fire and there are no more coals. The pot is still very hot and it'll soak in it and the dye can catch more, but there's no problem, right? Of Shema Yachta Bechol, right? So you can't put it in the fire because you might stoke the coals unless you've removed it from the fire, then it's okay. And again, Vahu Shia Pia Tuach Batit, or if the mouth is, the opening is already smeared, right? Shema, then it'll be okay as well. Shema Yog Yispa Misha Chashecha. Because maybe you will stir it up, right? When it's after it gets dark. So you've got there's two problems here. There's the one problem of stoking the coals. The other one is stirring the pot.
Right.
You want both the dye to catch. Them. So therefore, you know, there have to be two things would have to happen. You have to take it off the fire, A, and B, you'd have to close up the pot and not enable you to open up the pot and stir it up. Otherwise, it'd be prohibited because there'd be two factors you have to consider yourself with. And that'd be a good place to stop.